Hey, let's jump right into the text here. Acts 2:42, devoted. That's a good word. Continually devoting. Do you have your devotions each day? It's a good word, devote. Sad to say, dogs may be a better illustration of this than humans. This is Hachiko. Has anyone ever heard of an Akita? Yes. Okay, and a Japanese breed of dog. And this Hachiko is a famous one worldwide, I'm told. This is by, what is this? This is pethelpful.com. A veterinarian wrote this. Wrote five dogs that were very devoted, devout. And this is one of them. This dog, Hachiko, was with his owner every day on the way to work, to the train. And then when their owner came home, met him at the train when he got off the train every day. The owner died at work one day. And they said for the next 9 years, that dog went back to the train to wait for the owner. 9 years. And became world famous. That is the type of devotion that often only comes from a dog. The owner's cat, little known fact, found a new owner within 10 minutes. No, that's not true. No, yeah. You know, cats are that way, right? They're just selfish. And that's why, you know, sometimes I like cats too. Anyway, our dogs are like that. Just love us, no matter what. And we come home, they're always wagging their tail, even if you just walk around the block. Well, it would be good for us to find the devotion of Hachiko when we are talking about giving ourselves to be at this all the time. We're going to dive into that word in just a second. But by way of introduction, I just want to look at why Acts 2:42. We're actually going to give a few weeks with this one verse. Okay, one verse, and this is the way the Bible is. It is so packed that you can really we could take the rest of the year on this verse. But we're really going to just take 4 weeks to dive right into this verse. I'm just going to ask why. I want to convince you that this is important for us to consider in this new year. So you look at Acts 2 here. This is important because of where it's found in your Bible. What is Acts 2? What is the beginning of? Somebody throw out what's happening here as a new beginning. The church, yes, the beginning of the church. Pentecost has just come. Of course, this is just weeks after Jesus' ascension, and he's promised that the Holy Spirit would come. And the Spirit comes. Verses 1 through 13 of Acts 2, you find an amazing supernatural accompanying of the Holy Spirit, communicating some very real things. There's flames of fire over people's heads, representing the fact that God is not just in the temple. The Shekinah glory of God now is in each person. The people there are able to speak in foreign languages, because there are thousands of people from all over the world at this feast. And God is saying, hey, I want this not to go just to Hebrew and Aramaic. I want it to go to Ethiopia. I want it to go to the ends of the earth. And so you find there that they're able actually to speak the gospel in foreign languages. And again, another supernatural aspect of Acts 2. That's verses 1 to 13, the beginning of the Spirit pouring out, starting this organization, spiritual organization called the church. And then verse 14 and following, you have Peter's sermon all the way up to verse 41. So you have the Spirit poured out on that day. Peter gets up seeing all this and he says, this is what's going on. And he preaches the gospel of Jesus for the first time. Look at the invitation to that sermon. So what I'm saying here is this is reason number one that we should look at Acts 2:42, because we find in Acts 2:42 a Spirit-filled congregation. If you want to find a congregation that is following God's leading through the Holy Spirit, you would look at Acts 2:42. Now, pretty quickly, they run into error, and they start working through their error, or even by the end of the chapter. But look at what happens when he preaches. Now, when they had heard this, right, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So he says, listen, embrace the message, believe, be baptized, come into the church. So then those who receive the word, they embrace this truth, they follow in believers' baptism, and that day there's added three people. No, It was so good to forward. Did you get the email with Miranda's baptism this week? That was precious. Tuesday, she was baptized there in the apartment. But here's 3,000 people saved in one day and baptized. What an amazing beginning. That's the verses leading up to 242. Just an amazing start. One day, everybody's committed to follow. And really quickly, it goes back to narrative, and it's mostly narrative, meaning telling the story, and gives very little conclusion. In a little bit, they all give everything up and live in one society. And we find that that doesn't go really well. We're not left to say whether that was good or bad for them to do. We're left to try to debate it a little bit, but it didn't work well for them. A little bit later, that goes wrong again in chapter 6. So, Luke doesn't tell us all the different things that are right or wrong, but he does here, I think, through the Holy Spirit, give us, we'd say, the record for what this church is doing when they are working well. Like, if we want to know as a church, if you want to know as a person who comes to Grace Baptist Church, what you can do to make this church work well, to be greatly abounding in the work of the Lord, you would go to a verse like this. Because God recorded this for our learning. He said, he's going to describe what they really were committing themselves to. And that's that word there. It's a devoted congregation. He's not just saying these are the things that they thought were good or maybe a little helpful. He says they were devoted to these four things. All right? Continually devoted. It's actually used as a soldier in chapter 10 of Luke. That is attending to the needs of Cornelius. He's like always standing by his side, waiting to do whatever he needs. This is the way this church was. They're always on these four things. These four. And so we're going to do, I don't know if we're going to give a week to each one of these, but at least this week we're going to start out doing one here. Apostles' teaching. We really want to get to understand what that is. And what I want to do is save enough time by God's grace, is that we were able to just talk about it a little bit as we close, as a group. We did this in the early session, and it worked well. What I want us to do is to take the teaching, the apostles' teaching, that idea, and try to talk about it a little bit as we close. How can we do this? How can you do this in your setting, well, even in these conditions? Okay, because we want to think a little bit about the unique time where we are as an individual, your unique time, and I want you to think specifically about that as we close. Okay, so that's what we're going to try to do in point four. But let's get an understanding, first of all, what is this apostles' teaching? What is the apostles' teaching? That is very specific. It is specific teaching. The apostles. Who are the apostles? Well, the word just means a messenger. And so you find it coming up as someone sent from one church to another church with a specific task. So there's this generic sense in it. But let's just remember where we are in Acts 2. What is Luke talking about when he says the apostles' teaching? Who just spoke? Peter, right. He's talking about these apostles. Jesus is what he calls them, the 12. The 12 apostles that Jesus called and commissioned. This is who he's talking. So it's apostles, but it's a specific teaching of these apostles. So there is a specific teaching that is the apostles' teaching that we're to be devoted to, that you're to be devoted to. It's very specific. There's a lot of things I could teach that are very helpful. I could get up and just talk about how to live in community, how to live well in society. I could talk about life hack tips. I like those books. Sometimes they're fun, right? And they just, you know, time saving, money saving, you know, all these different things about life. And not, that's all well and good. We could talk about these things. And so sometimes even missions agencies only think about that as they go to new communities around the world. And they're like, this is what we want to teach, hygiene. We want to teach education. And so there's all these different things we could teach. But you know what? This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about one very specific thing that we're to be completely devoted to as a body, as a church body, and you're to be committed to, not just the pastors, is the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching. So let's dive into that. What is that? First of all, we want to see, and so this is a topical message, so we're going to look at a lot of verses as we dive into this topic of the apostles' teaching. First of all, look at the promise of the apostles' teaching. The promise, it was prophesied by Jesus in John 14. Look at this promise. Of course, this is John 14, but put yourself again in the context. This was just a few weeks ago. This is like me saying, December. What did you do in December? Like, of course, you know what you did in December. This is December for them. Still fresh in their minds. Jesus said this. He says, these things I've spoken to you while abiding with you, while I'm with you. He's just told them, I'm leaving. But be comforted. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come again and receive you to myself. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Spirit, the Helper, the Encourager. That's actually the same word as the spiritual gift, Encourager, coming alongside to help. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance what I have said to you. Jesus prophesied that this group of men, that Peter, James, John, that he would actually send the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would remind them of all of Jesus' teaching. And that they would be actually conduits of the apostles' doctrine. And so we have a very specific group of people that are revealing from the Holy Spirit what God has for the church. And Jesus is prophesying that to those men. And so when Peter gets up and he speaks it after the Holy Spirit comes, it's no mystery. Of course, this is what Jesus said would happen by the apostle Peter. We find it's the message of Jesus. You're in Acts 2. Just go over to Acts chapter 5. We're going to walk a lot in Acts today. Acts chapter 5, verse 28, we find this teaching is all about Jesus. And we could go to many, many passages. I'm just picking one. They're resisting Peter's teaching, saying, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching. Right? And they're teaching in a specific name. They're teaching all about Jesus. We've told you not to teach in this name, and yet you fill Jerusalem with this teaching. You keep teaching about Jesus, and you're making his blood on us. So they're talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. This is the teaching that they're talking about. The apostles' teaching is all about Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. Again, it's same as in John 14. He will talk about me. And so the Spirit comes, and the apostles talk about Jesus. It's the message of Jesus. I would say this, it's unique in the church. It is unique in the church. We need to take this teaching, these writings of the apostles, and take them as unique. Take them to our heart as special, as prized, as what I'll say, treasure. Referring back to Psalm 19 earlier. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by Berea. When they arrived, they went to the synagogue of the Jews. These in Berea were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. Why? For they received the word with great eagerness. Good. But then they examined the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And so this is our spirit about this. You and I are to receive it and to hold it, to know it, to study it, to be in it every day, to be continually devoted to the apostles' teaching. This body of doctrine, we teach it, but we hold it and study it and examine it every day. And then we uphold it. We know it and we uphold it. Jude 3, beloved, while I was making every effort, and I could, again, quote many references here, I wanted to talk to you about our common salvation. I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith. This became the faith, the body of doctrine, enclosed, encapsulated, that's once for all handed down to the saints. Once for all. It's there. It's yours. Saints, you've got it. Run with it. It's ours. The obligation ever since then has been orthodoxy. straight down the line according to the teaching, not heterodoxy, not other than the teaching. The apostles' teaching, stick to it. We know it. We're told that in the last days, some will not endure the apostles' teaching, sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 3:15, but in case I'm delayed, I write that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. God chose the church to take this treasure called the apostles' teaching, all about Jesus, and to uphold it on the pillar of the church. It rests upon your faithful treasuring of it. And each generation may use different language to communicate it to its generation, but it's the same teaching. It's exact same teaching. Nothing new. We use images like cars that Peter and Paul didn't have, or cell phones, or we may use different means like YouTube or Facebook or a text, but it's the same treasure. That never changes. And so you actually have more, the conveyances may change from generation to generation, holding the treasure. Matthew's an attorney. He has a totally different bag of tricks. In which to hold. I didn't mean that at all. To hold the treasure. The treasure than me. And you do in your background and your culture and your setting than I do. And yet it's the same treasure. We all have different lenses in which to hold up to this whole different crowd that I'll never reach, that I need to communicate to you and to you and to you. And we just think of all the different ways we can carry the same treasure to another person, to another person, to another person. The doctrine does not change. The apostles' teaching is the same. We never bring out novelty. We don't bring out new teachings. We just dig deeper and deeper into the same teaching. So it may sound novel, but it's the same teaching it's always been. The same apostles' teaching that Timothy, Titus, and Apollos were devoted to. The same apostles' teaching that Luther, Zwingli, and Calvin were devoted to. The same apostles' teaching that John Bunyan, John Newton, and William Wilberforce were devoted to. The same apostles' teaching that Charles Spurgeon, William Carey, and George Mueller devoted themselves to. The same teaching that Martin Lloyd-Jones, C.S. Lewis, Dietrich Bonhoeffer devoted themselves to. Billy Graham, D.L. Moody, R.C. Sproul. We can just keep going generation after generation after generation. It's past. The treasure is past. The treasure is past. God could have chosen angels to do that. He didn't. He chose the church. He could have done it himself, whereas if anyone veered at all from the apostles' teaching, he could have struck them dead. God could have done that, but he didn't. He said the church is responsible. You are the church. We are responsible for this treasure called the apostles' teaching. To uphold it, yes, but to make sure that it does not shift or change. That no treasures, false gold, are added to the treasure. And we just shine the light upon that treasure. And so we move on to Andrew and Becky and Deidre. I could go on and on and on. Now it's not, D.L. Moody's dead. They're all dead, and it's passed on to you. We pick up the torch. We are responsible to continue to teach the old story. It is the same old story, the old story that angels long to learn. The old story planned, the Bible says, from eternity past. The old story that the Bible says the saints are singing in heaven. They're already singing it in heaven. In eternity future. Blows your mind. That's what's happening. Around the throne, they're singing still about Jesus the Lamb. The gospel song states, and when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. The new song is the old story. The gospel, the apostles' teaching. And so we need to be treasuring it ourselves. You continue on. I need to move quickly here. The priority of the apostles' teaching, this is so fascinating. I just really struck me this week, and I've been trying to do this more personally, but the priority in the leaders. I've just really been thinking carefully, how can I cut out so much more of my life and devote myself more to prayer for you, and the ministry of the word? This is fascinating. This is almost offensive, but this is what happened. At this time, there were disciples. They're increasing in number, and a complaint comes up. Again, I said it's not all roses. And this is some of the widows were being overlooked in serving food. These ladies, it's not like they're wanting something special. They just want food. And they're widows. In that culture, they had no financial help from the community. This is a big problem. And what's a little, what can be, if you don't understand what God is teaching here, what can be offensive is the apostles said, we cannot feed the widows. That's pretty much what they say. Okay, so they said, we're not going to, we don't think it's desirable to neglect the word of God in order to serve the widows. If you could think of any reason that it may be good for a pastor or a church leader to not be in the word and prayer, it would be to take care of widows, right? The food. I'm not saying that we shouldn't take care of widows. Absolutely we should. And the Bible goes on. It shows that they did. They delegated people to take care of them. And in 1 Timothy, you find them doing it still more. But this is what he's telling us. This is so important that if you have to choose to, isn't that almost, it's not crazy. I wish American church would wake up to this, right? That this is that important, that I could starve to death, but be fed spiritually and it would be okay, right? Like it would be more important for me to be fed spiritually than fed physically is what this is saying. This is the type of priority. And then we, of course, we take care of the widows. We make sure that people's physical needs are taken care of. But the primary priority for the church was the word and prayer. That's so clear. You can't get around. And I could re-quote so many other verses that they devoted themselves to the word and prayer. They made it a priority. And then you find this all throughout the book of Acts. And I really started listing verses, and I just, there's no way to do it, so I'm just going to do it this way. This may be silly, but so you continue on, and they are a good example. See, this doesn't mean that the pastor needs to be 80 hours sitting and reading books. And sometimes people translate that. That's not what it's talking about. You follow, and you see, you know what the ministry of the word was? Speaking the word, teaching the word, communicating the word. And then I'm learning, okay, how do I do that in my culture? It's not always standing up in the market and declaring it, right? The market is YouTube. The market is the web. There's so many avenues and places that I need to be responsible to be communicating the word, the apostles' teaching. I'm trying to devote more time to these things. I just want to walk through this, and we can't take much time. Okay, here we go. So I just want to show you. This is just a brief study. I don't know if you can even see it. You see here, there is, this is from Acts, my Bible study on Acts. And you will find here all the different times when we're talking about speaking the word as we continue the story of Acts. And it's like astounding. Proclaiming the word of God in the synagogue. They're teaching the word. They're teaching the Lord. Word of exhortation. And then Paul says, and when you don't see things underlined, it's because the whole section is just recording them teaching the word. And it's repeated. It's all like this is the next page. We preach the word of God to you. It's proclaimed to you. And then also the response, belief. Again, this is the rest of that sermon. Might be spoken. Speaking to them or urging them. Hear the word of the Lord. The next page. The word of God was spoken. Spoke out boldly. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Spoke in such a manner. Speaking boldly. Testifying to the word of grace. Preach the gospel. The next page. Preach the gospel. Spoke the word in Perga. Chapter 15, no, because this is a council. They're going to talk about it. So it's talking about their mission of speaking the word. Preaching the word. Just proclaiming the word. The same thing. Chapter 16, over and over and over. Chapter 17, same thing. All over. Anyway, you get the... It keeps going. They're doing what they said they would do. They're making it a priority. Repeatedly. All throughout Acts. Acts is the testimony of them speaking the word. The apostles' teaching is central. The church committed to it, but then the leaders actually made it a priority. And then they made it their standard. Look at this passage, Galatians 1, 8 and 9. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have heard, contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. He's saying they should go to hell. That's the word, anathema. That's not a phrase that we should take lightly. Like our community takes it very lightly, but it's used in the Bible in this way. If you bring any gospel other than the apostles' teaching, Paul says you should go to hell. He would rather that than you continue to teach. Very strong language. And this is Galatians 1. He actually gets stronger. And I won't get there today, but and his verbiage gets stronger. The power of the apostles' teaching, and I'm just going to fly through this. This is why we have recovered these in the past. So those of you who have been here a while, you know these. But this is something we return to, just following why we're a Bible-driven church. And we find several scriptures. We have, like, I think 10 reasons in our booklet on this. I'm just going to look at a couple. First of all, because the Bible is profitable for teaching, reproving, correcting, training believers, preparing you to be adequate for every good work, abounding in the good work. The Word will help you be devoted to the Word. Jesus' Word produces spiritual life. This is how people are born again. They're not born again because someone was really passionate in how they pleaded or answered all their objections, and all of those things have their place that God uses, but it's because the word is powerful. Because the offensive nature of the gospel message that opens the spiritual eyes that no one else can explain, it produces spiritual life. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You are born again by the imperishable word of God. The apostles' teaching. When you say Jesus died for your sins according to the scriptures, was buried according to the scriptures, rose as the Son of God, securing eternal life for you, there's something about that that turns lights on in people's heart and eyes, and they forever believe and have eternal life. It also produces spiritual growth, like newborn babes long for the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. This is what the word does. It's amazing. This is the apostles' teaching that we all need to be committed to. All right, so we saved a few minutes here. Let's just take a minute with this, okay? I have several things written out. But I wanted to pause, and I wanted to open this up, because you have a different life than me. And you have different background than I do. And I think it would be helpful for us to talk through this together. Let's try to apply this in our own setting. In your setting, how can you do these two things? Okay, you're in New York City, and you're living under COVID restrictions right now. You have pressures in life that go beyond that only you know. So let's just talk about this, and we're going to talk about it in two ways, two big ways that we deal with the apostles' teaching. How can you be committed to knowing the apostles' teaching, taking it in? That's number one. How can you be committed to that, devoting yourselves to the apostles' teaching, knowing it in this society and culture? Secondly, how can you be committed to being a teacher? Because that's not just Paul and Peter. That's all of us are devoted to the ministry of the word, the propagation of the apostles' teaching. How can you be involved in teaching the word? Okay, so let's open this up. Don't be afraid. There's many bad answers. Okay, I'm not going to say there's no bad answers. There's many bad answers, but that's okay. I say bad answers all the time. All right? Or wrong answers. All right? The right answer is not by checking out and not doing anything. That's wrong. So, come on, you can go on from there. What's a good way to know the word? Let's start there. Awesome. Yes, very good. So that accountability helps. So like in the morning they mentioned reading the word, and I'll mention that in just a second, but here reading the word and staying on schedule together is great. And so we could do that. In fact, what I did share with the early session, and I would encourage each of you to do this, is to, even if you don't mention anything now, please try to email or text answers to each of these, at least two to knowing and two to teaching, to each person in your grace group, okay? Email or text them. And then also, like, if you need a grace group, let me know. But you can do that even with someone not in your life group, right? So that's awesome. Very good. Someone else?
For me personally, it's really helpful for me to go to bed at a specific time because then I can get up early and actually get into the Word. Because, you know, you're always searching for more time, but really it's not more time. It's just I need to cut out some of the excess time that doesn't really help anybody, which is usually for me late at night. Late at night, you know, you're kind of zoning out. You kind of feel like, oh, I just want to kind of chill out because I've been doing stuff all day. And I should get a little time. Yeah, but if it keeps dragging on to about 11:30, 12, guess what? I'm not getting up early. I'm going to get up a little bit before work, and I'm going to just run. So for me personally, just kind of putting off time that is, doesn't really count. Okay. And then so that I can actually get time that does count with him and in the work. So that's been helpful. My wife helps me with that because I tell her, because I'm not the best at it all the time. So I tell her I want her to help me with it. So if she sees me just kind of dragging on at, you know, 11 o'clock or so, hey, tell me, remember you wanted to go to bed so you could get up and get in the Word. And I will, because if I hear it from her too, she's a help for me. So sometimes I won't do it for myself, and really I won't do it for God. But I want to, so I get people to help me to do it.
Very good. Awesome. Very practical advice, right? The key to getting up early is going to bed early. Thank you, George. Let me just share that. I don't know if you hear on our stream, so Amber mentioned getting together with others and keeping a Bible reading schedule each day with memory and keeping each other accountable to that, and then also going to bed, George mentioned. I will say this, if you're watching online, please, you could share this in the notes, in Facebook notes or YouTube notes, so you guys can interact as well. Just helpful to think through this out loud together. I will mention this. Let me just read this. I had this put down here along these lines of finding time. This is George Mueller illustrated this very well. He said, I look upon it as a lost day when I have not had a good time over the Word of God. Friends often say, I have so much to do, so many people to see, I cannot find time for Scripture study. And he says, perhaps. He opens up here. This sounds proud, but it's not. He's helping us. He said, perhaps there are not many who have more to do than I. For more than a half a century, I have never known one day when I have not more business than I could get through. For 4 years, I have had annually about 30,000 letters, and most of these have passed through my own hands. 30,000 letters. Do the math. That's at least 10 a day. That's 100 a day. Is that? Anyway. Then, as a pastor of a church with 1,200 believers, great has been my care. Besides, I have charge of, and this is what we know him for, 5 immense orphanages. But I have always made it a rule never to begin work until I have had a good season with God and his word. The blessing I have received has been wonderful. Isn't that a good testimony? Mueller would say, I can't get off my knees until I've found myself happy with my God. And so he would just be before the Bible on his knees, talking to the Lord, reading until he found his joy again in God, and then he'd get up and move on with his day. Good example. Some other things here. Knowing or teaching. Pastor Andrew.
I just know for me, when and maybe you finish it with a small prayer that I write out for you. It helps me put my thoughts into words when they're a little more crystallized and clear. So for me, writing it would help that.
Very good. And we have workbooks available for that.
I just did a video on that. Let me really encourage you, if you don't have a Bible journal, get one. Ours costs $6, so of course you can get one cheaper than that. But it'll help you ask the right questions, and then also on the back, it has some Bible reading plans. Peggy, and then Robert. Yes, that was mentioned in the morning too. People who are working while listening to audio Bible on your commute, you can listen to preaching. Listen, I am not the best preacher. There are so many great preachers. There's just some really good sermons. I encourage you with all my heart. As long as it's sound teaching, feed your soul every day. You can put up with me on Sunday. But you know, hey, there's a feast. So some good preaching. I listen to a lot of preaching and enjoy that. I do feel like it's something I want to get good at over the next 30 years. And it's awesome that like a basketball player has 10 years, an NFL player has, 2 years? But I can do this for 50 years and get better and better. They mentioned that this morning too. Robert?
With teaching.
Yeah, let's switch to that. Give 2 more minutes with this, with teaching. Yeah, go ahead, brother. Okay, good. Excellent. Teaching by example. So we take the apostles' teaching, and in this society and the scenarios we're in, one of the best ways to teach is by our example. Very good. Very good. All right, some other ways to teach, especially now. It's harder to meet people, harder to get out, but how are you finding yourself being able to give the apostles' teaching to others? Bob and then Amber.
Well, about the teaching.
Yes. Yes.
You think you have to be prepared, you have to know what you're teaching. So in order to know what you're teaching, you have to teach yourself. So the best way you're teaching yourself is teaching someone.
Amen. Absolutely. And this was mentioned in the early time, and I thank you for bringing it up again. One of the primary ways in the Bible economy for doing the treasure, keeping the treasure, is the parents teaching the children and the dads teaching the children, right? But moms and dads together, making sure that the next generation knows the teaching and is following the teaching, is committed to the treasure. And so that is a sacred obligation to you. So that's great to hear you reading that to your twins. How old are they?
Primary reason to put them to sleep.
Which is miraculous. Just play one of my sessions. So you're reading Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Finally, they're gone. Okay.
Sometimes it's just so easy. They just fell asleep and I say, all right.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Amen. I do have a friend who did a session on how to structure family devotions for families, and he's going to be writing that in a booklet for our church. I look forward to putting that out here in the next year or so. Amber? Yes.
With what we're dealing with, which I think is really important, because like that verse you read about the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, you know, yes, we need to teach and outreach to the world, but we need to teach ourselves and help each other with that. So really just, instead of just like going through the reading and okay, hi, bye, really expecting each other to minister the gospel to us and, you know, opening up about the things we're dealing with, you know, honestly, and being able to each other with the gospel and the message of the cross has been really helpful to just have that extra support and reminding and teaching.
Absolutely. Amen. So, yeah, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry to the building up of the body of Christ is every member is doing this. So you're speaking the truth of the apostles' teaching to one another. Very good. Other ways that we're getting out, I know in the morning someone mentioned going to the park as a mom. They were able to catch people more often. I'm trying to meet a new person every month. December, this is, maybe I'm just socially awkward. That's hard for me. A new person, not along with the church. And maybe you're good at this. My wife is amazing. She like meets a new person every day. It's no fair. But I think people maybe think I was creepy if I did that too much. But anyway, like trying to just be friendly and praying to meet a new person every month. Then they get to be our pots. Remember that we're praying for watering the seed. You have five of those, but you need a bunch of people before that happens. I would say also catching up on the theology sessions that Pastor Andrew has been teaching. We have table talk also, but five sessions now on theology proper that we've been doing with Jer and maybe 10 others in the church that everybody's available. I just got those up on YouTube. They've been available on Zoom. And it's a little more difficult to get that, but now they're all on YouTube on the same playlist. So you can just play that and go through it as you're working throughout the day. And that's a really good way to remember some of this good theology, the apostles' teaching. Okay, so I'll remind you of that, as well as, of course, committing to being in church each Sunday. And then the word in your grace groups. All right, I think that's about it. Anything else we need to close, but how about this? Mention the other ones, okay? I realize maybe you didn't want to say it to everybody. Let's try to each do two of these, just so you're thinking this for yourself. How can I know the word better and talk to someone in the church about it, preferably each person in your grace group, and just send them a text or an email, the whole group. And then how can I teach better? How can I meet people? How can I teach better here? The word, the apostles' teaching. How can I be devoted? If I'm going to be devoted about this, I have to practically think about doing it. I can't just say, oh, we're going to do it. We're going to be devoted to it. It's so important. How? Let's think carefully about how we do this today. Okay? For me, that means I'm going to try, like, that's why I've been trying to do a little bit more of emailing you. And the different areas, the different ways that we normally deliver messages in our society. I'm really trying to get better at that because that's what they did. You read this letter, that was their technology. Paul's like, oh, I got some great new parchments to write a letter to someone. Apostles' teaching, I got to get it to more people. Okay, we're done. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'll just appeal to this. If you've never received this teaching as your own, please let me encourage you in this closing quiet. We're going to just be quiet for a minute so we can all talk to the Lord about how we can apply the apostles' teaching to ourselves. But if you've never embraced this as true, it's been going and going for thousands of years now. And you say, it's just been a story to me. But if you would just embrace it today, that Jesus died for your sins, according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again, according to the scriptures. The Bible said there that their sins were forgiven. they were granted eternal life. Let me encourage you to turn from sin and trust in Jesus. And then all of us, let's just think carefully before the Lord, as if we were really standing before the Lord in Jesus, because of Jesus, and ask for wisdom about this. And in a moment, Pastor Andrew will close us in prayer in a closing song. Let's pray.